episode 271 of Way of the Warrior, this week covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Online, you can catch us on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. It is Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 yep, seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And that's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, it is Eric Hulkrin along with Ken Evans, Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, and lots to talk about today, not the least of which is that there is actually a pay-per-view this weekend.
No, there isn't.
There is.
No.
There really? Actually, there is. You may not know that there is, but there is one.
Is anybody buying this? Because we've got an investment level of $100 next week for Mayweather Pacquiao, and anybody who's a fight fan is going to order that fight or find right. a way to see it, right?
Sure.
Is anybody going to spend another $60 this week to watch Mighty Mouse Horiguchi?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be real hard. This should definitely be a Fox card. You know, I'm a hardcore fan, as everybody
let
in this room is, but $60 to watch Mighty Mouse
stop
fight again?
You for a second, but
who's
like,
been on Fox for the longest time? I'm
I
used
understand,
to watching
but
the
like,
guy
what,
Fox.
Is the, what does the guy need to do to prove that he's... I mean, it's not...
He doesn't have to prove anything to it's me. Not it's an his, entertainment level.
It's not his fault that there isn't anybody at that level. You know, and you're now seeing what I thought was interesting this week is he said to Ariel Helwani that all the F-bombs he's dropping, and if you don't want to watch his pay-per-view, F you, you know.
Go
like,
watch WWE.
Right,
maybe you know, I will, actually. Sunday night.
We can DVR SmackDown.
Right.
You know, watch
well, and
it
I mean,
later.
You know, to, not to get, it, you know, again, to get into marketing, but that's actually free. If you signed up for the network, you get April for free, so you can
yeah.
check out this pay-per-view.
Well, you spend $10 a month, $120
but,
a year.
But this month is free.
Oh, is it?
So that
nice.
You can check this whole thing okay. out. So my point is, even they know. Pacquiao Mayweather, we're not even right. going to charge you $10 because you're going to go do this thing. But you're starting to see the Conor McGregor effect leak into everything. Like, okay, you won't pay attention to me. Well, what if I just say F-bombs all week long in every single interview that we do?
I think you're just annoying then. And if he had a better opponent, too, and I don't want to just – let me qualify that.
Who are you to judge Horiguchi?
I know. Not to say the guy isn't a phenomenal athlete, but this isn't Pacquiao – versus Mayweather.
Well, okay, nothing. There isn't anything the UFC has that will rival that.
Obviously not. The point is, he's fighting somebody who has near zero brand recognition.
Well,
right?
there is that, yes.
Go to BW3s and ask anybody in the room who
right.
I'll give the guy $100 if
hell,
he knows
ask
who
him
he
who
is.
Mighty Mouse is.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's just, and he's been on Fox a couple times, and the lighter weights have always been like this, and they're going to continue to be like this. So this is a card that they were hoping, you know, to sell with some of the undercard. I know Rampage is back. I mean, UFC must have the
yeah,
best lawyers,
cool.
by the way, ever.
And
because almost everybody said this was a lock, that there was no way he was getting on this card.
And he's not technically back, which is the really interesting part of the story, is that he's... The injunction is lifted for a half of a second, so this can
yeah.
happen, and then they're right back into, you know, yelling at each other and going to court.
So we've got this card that's supposed to be held up by Rampage and then Bisbing, who I actually don't mind. Kind of, I want to see him, and that's a little bit of a shift to me. Yeah, maybe
his
that's just
eye is still messed up.
His tenure? No, what's wrong with his eye,
dude? Well, he had
he's British. Don't forget.
yeah, and then this was like I don't know a year and a half ago, and if you guys watch some of the embedded episodes. So it's the guy's eye is still messed
up. Oh, is it?
Up. Oh, yeah.
He's just sticking around for the Reebok money then because they're doing it by tenure now.
I know, and he's got like 18 fights. Literally.
You guys.
So that's why I posted on the Facebook page, who's excited to see Rampage Jackson back? Because I know nobody wants
Did
to see
Did anybody click?
I don't
yeah,
have my computer. Our friend Ryan Dempsey.
Well, so like...
Thank you, Ryan.
yes.
You know,
so just Ryan.
They've got well. You've got a lot. You've got a lot of problems with this card from the jump. Even before we get into the ones I'm about to talk to, you know, you've got the fact that it was Mighty Mouse and Horiguchi headlined by Dillashaw and Barao. That got scrapped and
mm-hmm.
rescheduled
yep.
for
yep.
later on this year.
Well, and don't forget how late the and again, this is boxing, but this is still the pay per view business and where your dollars get allocated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mayweather Pacquiao. Was put up much later because basically Floyd rents the MGM every weekend around Cinco de Mayo.
Yep, sure. Yep.
So they sort of knew it might happen, but nobody had announced anything. And who knows if he was fighting another dude Like he's fought the last six times, it's still a toss-up sometimes with a Mayweather card. UFC, they've set their schedule, and they set it months out, almost a year out in some cases, depending on the dates and the events and the venues. So they knew they were going to run a pay-per-view this day. It was going to be a weak one as it was. I mean, even if you got that Dillashaw fight.
But I would argue one step further, though, that if the card was this, Dillashaw Barao 2, mm-hmm. Demetrius Johnson Horiguchi, Rory McDonald, Hector Lombard, Rampage, Fabio Maldonado, Bisping, CB Dalloway, I think you have a much better chance of getting more people to buy it.
That's a different product. A completely different card. And that's we're getting a small fraction of
that. Do they have to close off half the Bell Center, which you told me before we started the show they're going to do?
They already did close off half the Bell Center. And anyone who's in Section 200 or 300, their tickets automatically got upgraded.
Nice.
You know, but this becomes a big problem for the UFC. On a week that they also got thrown off Dish Network. So you can't, if you're on Dish Network.
What?
They got thrown off Dish.
You UFC?
You cannot get the pay-per-view this weekend if you have Dish Network.
Well, how did that happen?
Not to get into too much of insider.
Well, that's all we do.
Insider
here.
Pool.
That's all
but,
we do anymore.
But like, you know, when you see things on DirecTV or Dish Network or whoever, where they go, DirecTV is going to get rid of the Walking Dead. Write your congressman to make sure that you get the Walking Dead. What's happening there is they're debating over the contract over how much money goes to which party and whatever. As I understand it, DirecTV or Dish Network, I should say, and the UFC could not come to an impasse about how much money they were going to give to Dish to carry the opportunity to do the pay per views, and so this one is going to be thrown.
Ooh, and this is a good, somebody at Dish is an MMA fan because they knew when to negotiate.
Right.
Because the UFC has no leverage on this card.
Memorial Day weekend?
Maybe.
They've got leverage. Yeah. But
when
now,
we got a Weidman-Belfour fight, you know, Dish Network subscribers might be mad. Nobody on Dish Network right now, even if you were going to order it and you were on Dish Network, you're not that worried about the fact you're going to miss Mighty Mouse Horiguchi.
Well, no. I would say no, because the next night you've got a pay-per-view on the WWE Network, and then the week later, that's free if you've been on the network, and the week later, you've got Pacquiao Mayweather.
Yes. So
can we talk about Pacquiao Mayweather for a quick second?
I think next week we'll
will do that
more.
Mostly next week, okay. But we can in a second. I just want to go through this card though, and
we did. Anything you care about, we've done.
I just wonder for a guy like Mighty Mouse, like what does this dude have to do? You can say about that Horiguchi doesn't have the brand recognition, and that's totally a fact, but there's still something to be said that, and we've talked about this a lot, but it comes up every time that Mighty Mouse fights. Is if this is Anderson Silva, we're not having this discussion. If this is John Jones, we're not having this discussion. We're just going, John Jones is going to murder somebody, you know,
sweet.
This weekend. Here's
Sign me up. Here's my
$60.
I would have blamed it before on the lighter weights, but I mean, you've seen what Conor McGregor's been able to do.
You have.
And maybe this is, and maybe this isn't fair. You know, Conor McGregor's, you know, he's a guy with a lot of personality. He's a guy that walks in a room, demands attention. He's one of a kind. There's not a lot of dudes like him. So to hold everybody to that standard isn't fair. So I think we've got a little bit of both. We've got a dude that up until now has been a little bit vanilla, a little bit bland, very corporate too. I don't think we've seen a guy at this in this level of fighting that seems that corporate other than maybe John Jones. Remember, he came in with the Xbox logo on, and he had all the support from Microsoft. It's sleek. It's very cool. Oh, I've only got one look. I mean, he seems very corporate when he comes out. And he fights in a way that if you were, I'm going to do this again, WWE reference. If you were in the WWE, it's boring and it's a heel way to fight and you don't really enjoy it. And again, you can yell at me. I'm not an MMA fan then. Whatever, dude. You need my money. And you need to be entertaining, and I don't think you have been every time. I'm not trying to bag on you as a fighter, but if you're going to drop the F-bombs towards us, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I don't find you as interesting as I find some of the people on the undercard.
And
those people are Rampage Jackson and Michael Bisping, for Christ's sake.
Well, and I don't think that makes you not an MMA fan. I know that that's what Dana says, and I know that that's what Mighty Mouse says, but the product is the product, and you want to pay. This becomes different. If it's Fox and you don't watch it because you don't want to watch it because you don't find it interesting, that's a debate we can have about you being an MMA fan, right? It's a free product. You can record it and watch it whenever you want to, right? Like, time is valuable, but still, if you're a fan of the sport, you should check the guy out. He's the champ, whatever. But this is a transaction. Will you give me $70 to see this product? Ken clearly answering no. And you have to think after this, which Demetrius Johnson, I think, will, after this one, will clearly hold the record of the only champ to have the worst pay-per-view buys in the history of the organization.
Well, they wouldn't even put him on pay-per-view.
He's been on one other time.
Yeah, there was a couple, and they were
bad. He was like the Fox guy for the longest
time. And that was smart.
Because they knew he wouldn't
sell. You know, we had that discussion. I think it was episode 133. No, I'm kidding. I don't know them that well. But we had that discussion on the show.
That'd be awesome if you did, though.
When we shifted,
like Rain Man.
When we shifted him from that pay-per-view, because I remember exactly what we were talking about. I said, this is perfect. This is where you got to put this guy. You know, I will watch him. I will see what happens. Am I going to be happy at the end of the fight? I'm not sure. But I'm definitely going to give him a chance, and he's going to have an opportunity to get name recognition. He's going to have an opportunity to be seen by people that say they're fans of this sport. We had this discussion on the show. They wanted to take that leap and push him into a pay-per-view, and they wanted to double it up and see what happened. Because, again, I think the Dillashaw Barral fight, I want to see that. Probably more likely to pay for it. Still don't think this is a casual fan pay-per-view, and it's probably not meant to be. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somewhere in those UFC offices, they've got a board just like we've got in here, and they've written things down. And they're trying to stagger. Okay, here's Weidman Belfour. Okay, we're going to have one between that. Okay, here's going to be Conor McGregor. Okay, there's going to have to be one between that. They understand that they're going to ebb and flow. The ebb here.
I don't know that they have a whiteboard in their office that says we're going to have to shut half of the arena down. Like, that's not on
No, that's what ours says, though, right now. They closed half of the Bell Center due to poor ticket sales.
I think in Canada, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, in
that's
part,
a problem, a big one.
This is also a byproduct of the oversaturation of MMA that we were experiencing since last year, right? Because there's like three Saturdays all year long that won't have MMA. It's just, okay, there's a pay-per-view this weekend. There's a Fox card this weekend. It's so hard to keep up with, even for us, right?
Well, and to skip
out. So if this was like a once-a-month event, you could do more promotion.
Sure.
People look forward to it more. But this, it is Demetrius Johnson in a weak card. But it's also a byproduct of an oversaturation of the sport right now.
Well, and it's the bread part of a sandwich, right? So you had the terrible Crow Cop Krakow card. Then you had this amazing event last weekend that was free on Fox,
right?
And then this one's coming up. And so, yeah, when you talk about oversaturation, you've got the casual MMA fans like, well, is this going to be as good as Rockhold Machida? I don't think so. Because let me go to Wikipedia. Okay, like, Demetrius Johnson has stopped two of his opponents. Everything else has been a decision. I don't think so.
I'd love to see the numbers when this is done. What, do you think it'll break 200,000?
No.
I don't think it's going to break 150.
Wow.
Half the arena is shut down. When was the last time you heard
that? And here's the other thing, too. I mean, you talked about the fact that there's so many events. And again, I think this plays in hugely. You've got this fight in a week. Mm-hmm. And this is a tentpole fight. This is the – and I know people have been bringing that bell on boxing for a while. This is the last big fight. Now they might do two or three of them. But these are the last two guys anybody cares about anymore in the world of fighting.
Yeah, and we
so you cannot discount that.
No.
Let's take away money. I mean, you sort of mentioned time is an issue. If you're an MMA fan, if it were free, okay, I'll make some time, try to get it on the DVR. Time is an issue. There's an investment. You can't get, your buddies or your friends to all come over and split the card every single week. You've got the schedule in front of you right now. Joe, you're shaking your head no already, realizing like half the shows you're going to have to miss and figure out a way to see them to do the show. And that's somebody who's a huge MMA fan that's talking about it right now inside a podcast. Imagine your average Joe that needs to get three or four buddies together to spring $60 for this thing. You can't keep doing it, and it's just getting overwhelming. They're not setting themselves up for the future in a way that's really feasible in these weight divisions. You know, Luke Rockhold Machida, amazing, free on Fox last week, but that's still not a pay-per-view fight.
But I'm not saying it is. I'm saying,
That's what I'm saying.
You know, when you're having a transactional conversation of what will you give me $70 for? Well, I can already tell you that this main event is not as interesting to me if I'm casual fan as it was last week, as it's two guys I know, Luke Rockhold, who looks like Captain America, and Lyoto Machida, who is a dragon, right? Like, there's marketing here that gets people to, like, tune in and see what happens.
Yeah, well, and he was a light heavyweight champ. I mean, that there's a lot of marketing behind it. You know, Horiguchi wasn't anything.
No,
and again, that's not trying to slam on Horiguchi, but this is perceptually.
No, but they've got an issue at this weight class is that they literally can't get it to stick. Cannot get it to stick.
And which is weird because usually a long run for a champ is kind of what starts getting things to stick. And you've had Mighty Mouse be champion for a while.
He's the number three pound for pound guy in the world and can't sell a pay-per-view.
We loved Benson Henderson, but it got to the point with him for a while where he had to be on Fox.
Yeah.
He had to be on Fox. It just nobody was putting the money down at that point. And I think he had a lot more goodwill built up from time in WEC and some of those spectacular replays and highlights than Demetrius Johnson's ever had. And again, Demetrius Johnson, the best in the world at what he does at his weight class. But is it something I want to see? There's a lot of things that are best in the world. We're not watching Olympic sports all the time.
Sure.
And there's an interest level. I'm not watching ping pong other than at the Olympics.
So I wonder if the UFC will recognize this as a problem, right?
He's like, ping pong in the UFC.
He can't sell pay-per-views. The market is oversaturated. You had to close down half the arena. Are they going to try and solve the problem then? Or are they just going to keep putting out this subpar product?
Well, so, but it's not a subpar product. It's a subpar perception, right?
Because they're in the entertainment business. If they're not selling and they're not entertaining, then they're not delivering what their whole purpose in business is.
Yes, I guess there's a nuance there that I wanted to make sure people weren't knowing we were slighting, right? Like, he's the third best fighter on planet Earth, right? Like, so it's not a product problem. It's a perception that's turned into dollars.
It's an entertainment problem.
Sure.
That's the way I look at it.
Then you have to get into this discussion about what is the future of this industry, and if there is a future that focuses on Conor McGregor and that sort of WWE mentality, which is the reason that most of 2015 we've said the letters WWE more than we have in 6 years on the show, because this is what the thing is becoming, is this entertainment complex that you've got to draw people in because you've got an event every week save for three Saturdays.
Yeah. There's more crossover.
Are New Year's, New Year's Day,
right?
Christmas, and like one random Saturday in January.
Yeah. And they've even got double stack days, right? So we'll have two events in one day. You know, one's at 4 in the morning and one's at 8 p.m.
So we talked about this briefly. Rampage was on the card, off the card, on the card, off the card, and off the card. Now on the card facing Fabio Maldonado. Thoughts, Ken, on how much of a distraction this has been and what sort of Rampage we're going to see? You and I have been watching Rampage since way, way back in Pride days, and you know that there are two Rampages.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting, too. We're at 215 for this, which had to be Rampage's request, right?
Probably.
I mean, I'm not sure.
Is this a catchweight?
There's two catchweight fights on this card, actually, which is interesting. So that makes me nervous. Because usually if you're at catch weight, that means you haven't been training, right?
Mm-hmm.
Want to be heavier. Because he's a guy that's never had a problem making 205, really. But he didn't want to make 205 here. I'm trying to make sure that this isn't Fabio requesting this, but...
No, I would say... I mean, if I was going to guess, and I'm not looking at what you're looking at, I would guess that because of the fact he spent most of the time in a courtroom dealing with an injunction, he's not cutting weight. So therefore, he's heavier and wants to do a catch weight.
And I know Fabio's fought at heavy before, but a lot of light heavyweights do. I mean, remember, Rampage was at 185 for a while, too.
Yeah.
So this... Looking at all of that, certainly a distraction. Certainly have to wonder what kind of fight shape he's going to be in. He didn't know if he was going to have to fight in Bellator this week or what was going on. So I really don't know. I don't know what we're going to see. I'm not going to pay to see it. I'm not going to pay to find out. I'll look it up on Wikipedia the next day and go, oh, he won. Maybe I'll watch him next time.
I think it'll be entertaining. I don't think we're going to see, world-class technique being
He's not really entertaining, though, when he's not at
kind
least
of is.
Decent.
When he walks out barking with a four-inch chain around his neck.
What Ken is referring to, though, is in the recent years, his fights really haven't been... The fights you're talking about are pride fights, where he walks out barking like a dog and smashes somebody in half and then walks back with 19 geisha girls, right? Like, that guy is not – he's not doing that right now. And the fact that he keeps coming back, he's on this precipice of – you've been calling it the Masters Division. We've been calling it, feature fights.
Yeah,
he's
in
the
he feature, is 36.
He's in the feature fight slot at this point, because beating Fabio Maldonado at a catchweight does zero – for your career.
Right.
Losing to Fabio Maldonado at a catchweight does lots of damage to your career. So this is not a I don't think a great fight for him if he's not able to come out and put on a spectacular performance.
I don't expect a spectacular performance. If anything, he might come out boxing hard and knock him out.
He beat Hans Stringer, who I don't think we've seen again.
Right.
And he beat him with punches. So, yeah. Okay, good. TKO. Well, I'm going to even skip Stipe, where he lost the fight at this point. Does anybody remember the Joey Beltran fight, the Roger Hollett fight, the Gian Valente fight?
Those were King Mo fights.
He won. Well, I'm talking about his. Where are we at now?
He beat King Mo. That was his last fight in Bellator.
I'm sorry. I was talking about Fabio for a second.
Fabio.
You're right. I forgot about that. I don't watch Bellator as much. I thought that was in TNA or something.
It's not TNA.
Sure?
It was in Bellator.
It's on the Sci-Fi Network.
Spike. This isn't the Rampage we've seen before.
What you're doing is reading off Fabio's resume,
right,
which clearly is not Rampage's resume. What I'm saying is, like, that's clearly not a guy that's Rampage caliber, and this is kind of a setup to do something else with Rampage. But a distracted, heavy Rampage walking into this fight, I think, is dangerous for everybody involved and not in a good way.
I don't care. I guess that's as simple as I can make it on this one. I have a very passing interest on it. Yeah, it's just the same way. I still don't know. Did Tito ever fight him? I still don't know. No, it never happened.
That was part of the injunction, right? That's part of the stuff that was promised.
That's my level of interest in some of this. I don't even know. Like, you might as well just bring Ken Shamrock back to start fighting again.
June 21st.
Yeah.
I meant UFC. I understand. I get that he has a fight, guys.
So are you looking forward more to the Rampage Jackson or the Demetrius Johnson fight?
Bisping Dalloway, to be honest with
you.
I think that's interesting because he's that guy that just kind of keeps floating right back into title contention, and depending on who's got it.
CB Dalloway's been that guy who you just constantly count out, and he just kind of shows back up and puts on a spectacular performance. And I think this is there's two fights that I think are really interesting on this card. One of them is free, one of them is $60. Bisping and Dalloway, I think it's really interesting because there's a lot of talk. You've talked about Bisping's eye, and it just looks messed up. And at some point, after the amount of surgeries, at some point that has to come into question. Like, what are you going to do with this thing? Can you still fight? Should you still fight? Whatever. But I think this is an interesting fight. Will he continue to fight after this? I don't have any idea, but I think this is an interesting fight. And I'm interested in the Patrick Cote, Joe Riggs fight. Joe Riggs back after that handgun injury.
Yeah, where he shot himself.
Oh, that's right.
Right. But these are two guys that, in their heyday were putting on spectacular performances. Let's remember that Patrick Cote was holding his own against Anderson Silva till his leg blew out, and that changed the direction of his entire career.
He's always come close, but just hasn't been able to seal the deal.
But I think this makes for an interesting fight to check out.
It'll
so if you're asking me what are the ones I'm interested in, those are the two I'm most interested in. I like Demetrius Johnson as a fighter. I don't know that Haraguchi has any skills that Demetrius isn't better at, because literally, weight aside, if Demetrius Johnson was the size of John Jones, we wouldn't be having any discussions. It would just be, what tomato can is he going to murder in the cage this weekend at UFC 186? And I feel that's exactly what's going to happen. So it's not that I don't have interest in the fight in so much as I just am interested to see, can he finish? Because I think he needs to.
I think he's fun to watch because he's so technically sound.
Yes.
Like, he keeps his left, every time he throws a right cross, that left hand is against his jawbone. It's beautiful to watch this guy fight. So if anything, to watch his technical abilities is fun to watch this weekend.
And we'll have all of the results on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. When we come back, we will talk about the UFC on Fox and other breaking news, because there's a lot of it this weekend. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hulgren along with Jobi-Wan Kenobi covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We were talking about UFC 186, the pay-per-view that has a lot of problems. And we'll obviously tell you next week what actually comes of it. We'll dig into Dave Meltzer's numbers, as he will let us know if it's 122,000 people or whatever that number.
I wonder how accurate he is. Do you think he just has somebody on the inside at Viacom or someplace that he gets these numbers from?
I just have always found him to be really, really good at digging in and getting those numbers.
Yeah.
So I just
He's got a cool story, actually. He's been a journalist for like 30 years. He started covering professional wrestling way back in the day and then just kind of morphed into MMA. So it's cool to see his kind of insider perspective on things and that longevity of journalism kind of evolved into what it is today.
Absolutely. And you know, and his newsletter that's a paid service, you may be scoffing. There's a lot of people that are like, I can't believe you would pay for that stuff. But I'm telling you, you know, like Joe was just saying, you can tell that 30 years of experience, the product that they're putting out are stories that you don't see anywhere else. And every MMA outlet poaches from those guys and tries to write stories based off the stuff that they come up with. So if you're a fan of the sport and want kind of some inside stuff on both wrestling, because if you pay the $10 a month, you get access to everything. So it's the inside stuff for pro wrestling, the inside stuff for MMA, and well worth it. But that said, he'll be your go-to source of what that pay-per-view buy rate is, and I would say he's usually right within 5%. If I was going to, you know, if I was going to be a betting man, 5% either way. So last weekend, a big event. Now we were saying earlier, maybe not a pay-per-view caliber event, but a big event with a lot of implications. Luke Rockhold just absolutely steamrolled Lyoto Machida on Fox in an incredible, incredible performance.
Yeah, and you know, coming into this fight, it was at least the betting lines were pretty dang easy. Machida came out this week and said that he ate an elbow in the first round and was dizzy for the rest of the fight. He just wasn't able to recover, which kind of explains what happened because, like you said, he just got steamrolled and dominated on the ground, too. Machida just had no answers. Coming into the second and third, he looked completely gassed, like he didn't even want to be in there anymore. But now that we knew he was rocked, I mean, probably a severe concussion, right? He didn't know where he was at.
Yeah, but
he doesn't remember it. It is MMA. I get what you're saying. Like, for sure.
You know, Rockhold still has to be the guy to land that elbow to make it so that Lyoto Machida doesn't know what
week
it is.
Not taking anything away from Luke, but that explains why Machida looked like he wasn't present in the ring and he was completely gassed. It was almost a sad thing to see, you know, a former champion, a martial artist like that, to many look up to, just getting his butt kicked for another 10 minutes.
See, I disagree because I look at that fight and go, you know, we ask a lot of questions about Chris Weidman. I would say unfairly ask a lot of questions as he continually just rolls through everybody, right?
Yeah.
Beats Lyoto Machida, beats Anderson Silva, going up against Vitor Belfort. You know, we continually go, yeah, but I mean, isn't he just a paper champion? Because Anderson Silva
not
was
at all.
Right, he's not at all. So what I see is Chris Weidman steamrolls Lyoto Machida. Using our favorite game here of MMA math, I see Luke Rockhold steamroll Lyoto Machida, and I see, and if I'm on the marketing team, I almost wrote this week and put it up on the Facebook page, but I didn't. If I'm the marketing team of the UFC, what I'm doing immediately following the Memorial Day thing is I'm calling Warner Brothers, and I'm asking them to sponsor the Weidman Luke Rockhold fight that will be at Madison Square Garden at the end of the year and have it sponsored by your movie Batman vs. Superman. That is exactly what I'm doing because you're going to build these two guys who look like superheroes into this. I just think if you want to put a fight at MSG.
I don't see that at all.
I just think, really? You don't think Rockhold can take it to Weidman?
I just don't see the Batman Superman.
Well, just because they both look like superheroes. I'm just saying, I think the marketing is interesting. But I think if you're going to put a fight at Madison Square Garden, in light of what's going to happen in July with all the trading testing, these two guys are going to be your best bet of not getting burned. And these guys are going to be a big, big draw. When you talk about in complete polar opposite of what happens this weekend at UFC 186, Luke Rockhold and Chris Weidman for the championship belt is a money pay-per-view, I think.
Oh, yeah. And every fighter from the East Coast is clamoring to have that first MSG fight.
Sure they are.
I mean, that's a lifelong dream for all of these guys to fight at MSG. So there will be no shortage of talent, and that will be a stacked card. I think that will rival UFC 100 as far as numbers go, because not only do the fighters want it, but Dana White and the executives want it just as bad.
Yeah, and I just think the performance on Saturday night was brilliant.
Oh, yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And Luke obviously stands up and says, hey, look, I did my part. Now it's your turn to do your part. Let's get rid of Belfort, and then you and I can do this thing. Let's get it on. And I just think his performance was spectacular in a way that I think he's got some answers that might be able to solve some of the problems of Chris Weidman. That's not to say that Chris Weidman won't still beat him. I mean, that's you know, Chris has certainly had plenty of tests that you know, on paper seem much tougher than Luke Rockhold.
I think Chris is a better boxer. I think Luke's a better kicker. And on the ground, you might have to give it to Luke. He says that he doesn't train BJJ, that he's got his own like hybrid American jiu-jitsu style. And he's one of the very few people who can say that and stand behind it.
Sure.
Because he's very unique on the ground, and he's been successful. He just submitted Lyoto Machida, which we knew he would dominate on the ground. We talked about that last week. So on the ground, I don't know. Who would you give it to, Luke or Weidman on the ground?
Well, I would say it depends on the position. Ground and pound position, I think Chris is not a guy I want to be trapped underneath.
You don't know. No, on top for sure, right?
You know, Chris on top, I'm going to give it to him. You know, it's submissions. Yeah. I would probably give the slight advantage to Luke Rockhold. And as a transition, I would say the co-main event, Jacare against Chris Camozzi on Saturday night, if you wanted to see probably one of the most fantastic sweeps to armbar you'll ever see in your entire life, that was clearly it.
It look effortless, too.
Effortless. It was fantastic. And what I thought was really interesting is the ref had no purpose in that fight whatsoever. Like, as soon as Chris is trying to protect himself from the armbar, as soon as he loses the grip, he taps. Like, his arm was at 90 degrees, wasn't even close, taps.
He knew it.
And Jacare just lets go. Like, the ref had nothing to do with the finish of that fight. Both those guys were like, yep, this is over. My B.
Yeah, would you have rather saw Chris fight for it a little more? Because he did tap pretty quick. It's probably because he knew Jacare would rip his freaking arm off.
Well, I mean, it's not only that. Like, you know that Jacare has it. It's like when, you know, there's some people that are going to be like, well, Eric, I really think that if you agree to take a fight, you should fight it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, and I've always agreed with you, in chokes. If somebody's choking you, you should fight that all the way until you go if you're in a fight.
Okay.
But if you're Chris Camozzi, who's back in the UFC and might be able to fight again in a less insane way than taking Jacare at 4 days' notice, why would you want to break your arm and be out for 8 months?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't let him break my arm, but it seems like he kind of gave up a little quick. And now it's very hard to judge, you know, watching it from my couch.
I just think, like, a guy like Jacare or a woman like Ronda Rousey, when they've got your arm and they've broken your grip, the game is over unless you're doing something other than, like, if you're moving. He wasn't moving. He was trapped against the fence, and Jacare had his arm and was pulling it to the wrong direction.
So Jacare actually moved down in the rankings this week after this win. Where did you put him?
I kept him the same because I didn't think it was it wasn't really, it looked like practice to me.
Yeah,
you know,
it was for sure.
And I think with Luke Rockhold's performance, that's clearly why they moved him up, right? Because he's at number one, right?
Yep, to the number one spot.
And I think that's the right move. Not that Jacare's performance was lackluster, but I'm just saying, like I said a minute ago, Luke's performance and domination of Lyoto Machida is just we said it in the first segment. This is now an entertainment business.
Yep.
Right? We are not making matchmaking on logic. We're making matchmaking on what money is going to be brought
Absolutely.
In. And Jacare beating Chris Camozzi does not tell a story to the general audience that he should fight Chris Weidman.
If you were Jacare, would you be upset with the UFC for not finding you a better opponent?
Well,
I mean, this guy isn't even top 15. He's not top 30.
But
and you're going to put him in against the number one guy. You beat him and you actually go down in the rankings, you move farther away from a title shot?
I'm going to argue a little bit that you don't move that much farther because injury bugs are so ridiculously prevalent that you're still in the hunt there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he should stay, he should train and be ready to fight.
And I think that if I'm the UFC, I still want to see Yoel Romero and Jacare. I think that's a fight that people want to see. You've got two guys that are very dangerous in very different ways that makes for a very fun fight.
Yeah.
And it backs you up, right? So if we get Rockhold Weidman at MSG towards the end of the year, let's just pretend we'll be Joe Silva for 3 minutes. If you get that fight and you could put Jacare and Yoel Romero on that card, you've got a plan B.
So Yoel tore his MCL. But he's not going to get surgery. He just wants to rehab it. That seems very short-sighted to me.
Totally, but I mean, you know, this is part of the game.
It's a young man's game.
Not only is it a young man's game, but to go back to Chris Camozzi, like, you got to eat. And Yoel Romero, for as great and as decorated a fighter as he is not making hundreds of thousands of dollars all of the time.
You know, the UFC's got to consider that, though, when they book him for another fight, too, right? That's a risk that they have to consider.
That he won't pass the test?
No, that this guy might blow his knee out, you know, in training. And then if you have to book him for a big pay-per-view or a title fight and he's dealing with half the ligaments in his knee,
right,
that's a huge risk they're going to take on.
It is, but I just, even if it's not Yoel Romero, right, Jacare being at the number two slot, I would just put him on the card that Weidman and Rock will
yeah.
run. And just,
yeah, yeah, and they've been smart about doing that,
you know, and just
for
keep,
sure.
keep him around yeah. just in yeah. case that happens.
That's just good business.
Max Holloway just absolutely beat up Cub Swanson.
Was so cool.
That was a tremendous performance from Max Holloway. And, you know, you just said a minute ago, it's a young man's game. The younger version of Cub Swanson is yeah. clearly here to stay and passed a very, very big test and should.
Cub just didn't have anything for him. I thought he would be able to put on a little more offense. Even technically, he looked a little sloppy. This isn't a Cub that we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, and I was obviously completely wrong about what you were going to see there, because Max Holloway just had all of the answers and was able to make it so that Cub just didn't have anything to offer.
Yeah, I haven't heard any news this week if you know what exactly happened, or you know if he had a bad camp or whatnot. Cub did, though, break his jaw and his hand in this fight.
Yes.
Jeez.
Well, we did get that part right? They were going to go to war, whatever the,
yeah,
the
yeah.
thing was.
Yeah, it was going to be a kickboxing match. So it was entertaining. It was great. It was a little. I would have liked to seen Cub bring a little more to the game.
Yeah, but he just didn't have it that
he
night.
He didn't,
but
man.
A great
he
performance from Max
no.
Holloway. And then we were wondering what was going to happen with Paige VanZant. She clearly answered the hype train
yeah.
as she steamed roll over Felice Herrick.
21 years old.
Right. And, I mean, what are your thoughts on Felice? Because I just think there doesn't seem to be a space on the roster for somebody like that.
No, and we talked about this a little bit. You know, even during the tough season, she was a big name when women's MMA wasn't as popular.
Yep.
She was one of the most attractive women in MMA. I think that bought her a lot. She had some good wins in there, but she's never been, this exceptional athlete, you know, full of talent. And I think this kind of solidified it, right? We've got this next generation of women MMA people entering the arena, and she just kicked her butt. I mean,
do you, and Paige has said this week that she has zero interest in going up to fight Ronda Rousey.
No,
she
no, that would to, be a terrible decision.
She wants to mirror the yeah. image, but I wonder to you, how many fights more does she need before it's her and Jędrzejczyk?
You know, I would love to see Sean's perspective, because he had to coach Kevin Lee about this a little bit, right? Kevin's young, full of talent. Do you want to burn up your title shot right now, or do you want to develop as an athlete? So if these MMA people, athletes peak between, you know, 28 and 32. She's got 7 years, Eric, before she's supposedly going to peak, right?
Right.
Right now would be a terrible decision to give her too much of too big of an opponent, right?
But don't,
so I develop her for at least a couple more years.
But I don't know you have that much time. The division is totally
I'm not
shallow.
Saying wait in 10 years, but at least give it, you know, just, she needs a couple more fights before she starts thinking about it. Title shot.
You know, I wonder if you look at the rankings, though, who else? I mean, how
no,
many
that's,
of, I
you,
mean,
you she, do have she, a point there.
If it's, she steamrolls number five, who I don't have it in front of me, but whoever's number five in the strawweight division.
Tiesha Torres,
you know, she goes,
awesome.
Goes over, rolls over Tiesha Torres, right? And she rolls over Carla Esparza.
Right.
You've run out of excuses.
Yeah.
Her
yeah.
third fight is against Jędrzejczyk, if Jędrzejczyk still has the title.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm like I said, I don't give her 10 years, but get a couple more fights under your belt. Develop yourself. She's at a great camp. She's fighting at Team Alpha Male. She's just chock full of potential. So give her a couple years, maybe a couple more fights, maybe even not a couple years, but at least a couple more fights before you get a, you know, top three opponent, and then go for the challenge for the belt. And she's got all the potential to be that champion. Jędrzejczyk, she was a good kickboxer, but she wasn't kind of anybody that I think a lot of people would argue is going to hold the belt for the next 5 years, right?
I don't know the answer to that, because she just dismantled Carla.
Carla has one thing, and that's wrestling.
Okay, but hang on.
Neutralize the wrestling. There was nothing else
there. Let's remember that Carla Esparza steamrolled the other 14 people in the division.
One-dimensionally, only by her wrestling.
Oh. This is not what you're not listening to me.
I'm listening to you. I'm looking at you and listening to you.
The strawweight division is made up of, save for Jędrzejczyk and Paige VanZant.
Yeah.
The strawweight division is made up of an entire tough house, essentially.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All ex Invicta fighters, like that whole thing. And Carla Esparza ran through essentially all of them, save for Paige VanZant and clearly Jędrzejczyk. So, like,
My point is she ran through him in the same one-dimensional way.
I understand that, which is making 2 points for me. One, that you can't keep Paige VanZant out of that title shot for very long because she'll just do the same thing in reverse.
Right, I see that.
And two, I don't know enough about Jędrzejczyk and her ability to bring in other skill sets in the same way that Jacare just subbed people for the first part of his career till he fell in love with his hands and starts dropping people in order to sub said people. The same way that Ronda Rousey tossed people on their heads and ripped their arms off for the first half of her career until she figured out her punching and fell in love with that to set that up. You know, so
So your point is that it's a new division, and it's yet to be seen the talent level that Paige is going to face.
Yeah, well, right. Not only that Paige is going to face, but I don't know that we can answer the question whether or not Jędrzejczyk's the real deal. I think we need to get another test in there, and maybe even the test is Paige VanZant at some point to kind of answer that question. Okay, one other thing before we take off for the week, got a great announcement for the July 25th card in Chicago, which will be UFC on Fox 16, as Joe Lauzon and Takanori Gomi are going to go mano a mano, which I think is a very exciting fight.
For sure.
If you're a fan of either of those guys, you know that that's going to be an absolute blast to watch and a fun fight in Chicago on July 25th. But as we were talking, UFC 186, it is this weekend. Weigh-ins will be on Facebook here in a minute, and you will catch all the results on Twitter and Facebook. Have a great weekend. We will talk next week. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.